Good evening. This is the KRFP Evening Report for Monday, August 2nd, 2010. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. Candidate for Governor Allred proposes 3% gas tax reduction. Idaho says 62% of schools meet No Child Left Behind requirements. Moscow City Council to consider pet rabies shot requirements tonight. And Representative Ringo files 3 sworn statements with Attorney General's Office in support of secret tax deals lawsuit. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. Democratic candidate for governor Keith Allred has reacted to a recent study saying passenger car owners pay more than their share in taxes aimed at road maintenance by saying the state's gas tax should be decreased by 3 cents per gallon. Allred said he would encourage an increase in the registration fees for heavy trucks to make up $19.2 million in state revenue that would be lost due to the gas tax reduction. Currently, Idaho drivers pay 25 cents per gallon in tax on gasoline. The Idaho Department of Education released a report today saying 62% of Idaho schools have made progress under the federal No Child Left Behind Act during the last year. That's down from 66% reaching the goals the year before, but Superintendent of Public Instruction Tom Luna says federal benchmarks have increased dramatically over the last year. Luna told the Associated Press, "The fact is, a student that graduates from high school this year has to know more than a student that graduated from high school last year. We're going to continue to raise the bar. We have to, or we're not properly preparing our children for the world that awaits them." Schools may have a tougher time meeting higher benchmarks this year because they are facing the first major cut in state school funding in state history. The new state budget reduced school funding by $128 million for the coming school year. Fire crews have contained most of the small lightning-caused wildfires in north-central Washington, but their effects are spreading in the form of smoky haze over eastern Washington and into northern Idaho. The Washington Department of Ecology issued a press release today saying, if it looks and smells smoky outside, it's probably not a good time to go for a jog, mow the lawn, or allow children to play outdoors. Smoky and hazy conditions are expected to persist on the Palouse until midday Wednesday. The Lewiston Tribune online edition reports Assotin County Superior Court Judge William Acey has rejected petitions to recall 2 of the 3 Whitman County commissioners due to insufficient cause. Roger Witten of Oaksdale had filed requests to recall commissioners Greg Parch and Patrick O'Neill, contending the 2 violated open meeting laws and discussed county issues at private meetings. Witten also said the 2 failed to give the required public notice in advance of a 2009 special meeting. In denying the recall petitions, Judge Acey said Witten's charges were insufficiently documented and instead relied on reports published in the Whitman County Gazette. Witten told the Lewiston Tribune he will not appeal the ruling. Assotin County Sheriff's Detective Jackie Nichols is leading a team searching for clues near Colton to the April 16th disappearance of 41-year-old Clarkston resident Rachel Anderson. Nichols said the reason they are searching farmland east of Colton is because, quote, "we had a witness who saw a white SUV come out of this area about 4 a.m. on April 17th and turn onto Highway 195. The witness was going to work and noticed the white vehicle because it didn't stop at a stop sign." Nichols was known to have traveled to Moscow in a borrowed white GMC Yukon on April 16th, and the vehicle was found behind a Lewiston convenience store a few days later. The last person known to have seen Anderson alive is her estranged husband, Charles Capone, of Moscow, who she is divorcing. Capone is named as a person of interest in the case, but not a suspect. Capone is currently in jail after being convicted of federal weapons charges. The search team includes dogs that can sniff out cadavers and live humans. Nichols' team is searching abandoned farmhouses, wells, root cellars, as well as ponds and hedgerows. Two public meetings on the expanded Silver Valley Superfund cleanup are planned in the coming days, one hosted by the Environmental Protection Agency and one hosted by U.S. Senator Mike Crapo of Idaho and Governor C.L. Butch Otter. The EPA will hold a public meeting on the expansion Wednesday at the Shoshone Medical Center's Health and Education Center at 858 Commerce Drive in Smelterville. The EPA will hold an open house at 5 p.m., and the public meeting will start at 7 p.m. In addition, Idaho Governor C.L. Butch Otter and Republican U.S. Senator Mike Crapo will travel to Kellogg next Monday to attend a meeting with Environmental Protection Agency officials to discuss the proposed expansion of the Superfund cleaning of mining waste in the Coeur d'Alene Basin. Crapo spokesperson Lindsay Northern said the senator called the meeting to give local residents an opportunity to comment on the plan. The town hall meeting will be held at 6 p.m. on Monday, August 9th at the Kellogg High School, located at 22 Jacob Gulch Road in Kellogg. Bear experts expect it to take a month to analyze data and figure out what happened in an unusual fatal bear attack at a campground just west of Cook City, Montana, last Wednesday. A 48-year-old Michigan man was pulled from his tent and partially consumed by at least one of four grizzlies that came to the campground before dawn. Two others sleeping elsewhere in the campground were injured in the attack that took the life of Kevin Ronald Kammer. The 300-pound sow that was captured was euthanized after wildlife officials determined she was involved in the attack via DNA testing. Her three cubs will be sent to a bear exhibit at a zoo in Billings. When the cubs arrived at Zoo Montana in Billings, they were found to be underweight and malnourished. Zoo director Jackie Warstell said this could be one possible explanation for the unusually aggressive behavior of the mother. The attack was unusual because it was unprovoked and campers had apparently left no food anywhere in the campground that would have attracted bears. The attack just outside of Yellowstone National Park was one of just 12 human fatalities caused by bears in Montana and Wyoming during the past 30 years. Veteran bear researcher Chuck Junkel of Missoula said, "When you figure that about 40,000 people are killed by cars every year and about 4,000 wives are killed by their husbands, one person killed by a bear every other year seems pretty insignificant." The last previous human fatality due to a bear attack in the two states occurred June 17th of this year, east of Yellowstone, when 70-year-old Erwin Evert apparently ignored posted signs and went hiking in an area where bear researchers had released a sedated grizzly. Meanwhile, officials at Big Sky Resort in western Montana have closed a paintball course after discovering that the environmentally friendly paintballs they were using contained a vegetable oil that was attracting grizzlies and black bears. Idaho Department of Administration Director Mike Gwartney announced Friday he is retiring. Gwartney, a close friend of Governor C.L. Butch Otter, has clashed with labor groups since taking the job in June 2007, including over his efforts to reduce costs by limiting state workers' retirement benefits and quadrupling part-time state workers' insurance costs. He also was in conflict with Senate Budget Chair Dean Cameron over finances for the Idaho Education Network, which now are subject to a lawsuit. Representative Shirley Ringo of Moscow has offered to hold off on her lawsuit against the legislature and the state's tax commission if three new sworn statements from longtime senior commission employees alleging secret tax deals are investigated. Ringo is also asking for job protection for current tax commission employees who testify in the cases. On Thursday, Ringo and former Idaho Supreme Court Justice Robert Huntley submitted the sworn statements to Attorney General Lawrence Wasdin, alleging that tax deals were routinely given to companies and wealthy politically connected individuals. Ringo had already sued earlier this year based on longtime tax auditor Stan Howland's 2008 whistleblower report, which resulted in some legislative reforms. Howland, Ringo, and Huntley maintain the reforms are inadequate because they don't require disclosure of individual secret tax deals, but instead only require the tax commission to submit an annual report to the legislature. The new statements are from 30-year tax commission auditor Gary Maddox, who retired last year, 33-year tax commission auditor Robert Chatterton, who retired in 2006, and Joe Schwartz, who was manager of the Coeur d'Alene Tax Commission office for 18 years. Maddox says a number of years ago, an $80,000 assessment was forgiven for a politically influential radio talk show host, and no reason was given. Maddox also said a furniture retailer managed to have charges dropped after refusing to comply with an order to provide sales documents. The furniture outlet was allegedly selling to Idaho customers through his Oregon outlet and delivering to Idaho in a scheme to avoid Idaho sales taxes. Chatterton wrote about a protest hearing that resulted in a favorable settlement in which a commissioner, quote, said he and his wife had a wonderful time at dinner with the corporation tax manager last night, unquote. Chatterton also wrote of an audit that was settled for $150,000 before documents for the audit had arrived, and once the documents arrived late, they showed the subject of the audit owed $300,000. Schwartz wrote that, quote, Stan Howland is absolutely correct when he says that deals have been struck that reek of favoritism. He also said in his statement that politicians threatened to punish the tax commission if they enforced compliance with a particular tax law. Representative Ringo said submitting the documents now is partially a response to criticism of her lawsuit from the House and Senate Tax Committee chairs. She also told the Spokesman Review that she needs to start the legal process now because, quote, these deals continue to be made and the state continues to lose revenue, and we know the consequences of that. The Moscow City Council tonight will consider a new ordinance requiring all dogs, cats, and ferrets more than 6 months old within the city to be vaccinated for rabies. The ordinance also requires pet owners to keep a record of the vaccinations, and it allows exceptions when a licensed veterinarian files a statement certifying an animal should not be vaccinated because of valid medical reasons. The council will vote also on accepting a $475,000 Environmental Protection Agency Brownfield Coalition Assessment Grant. The city's partners in the grant application are Latah County and the Moscow Urban Renewal Agency. The project will include assessment and cleanup planning for five sites located in the former railroad and industrial use corridor of the city, which extends from A Street north of downtown to where U.S. Highway 95 leaves Moscow to the south, heading towards Lewiston. Preliminary choices mentioned in the grant application include a former pea processing facility at A and South Asbury Street, the former Otto's Produce site at 6th and Jackson, a one-acre site in the Central Business District near the high school and the historic Fort Russell District that has been used in the past for a gas station, automotive service center, and a dry cleaner, and a seven-acre parcel near the intersection of U.S. 95 and the Troy Highway and near the University of Idaho entrance that had been used as a railroad corridor. The map included in the application indicates the Central Business District site is approximately at the location of the former Martin Tire Center at 2nd and Washington Streets. The fifth parcel chosen is a 14-acre area currently used for a crop duster runway and the Fountain Family Industrial Park, which has been identified as the future site of the Southeast Moscow Industrial Park. Other agenda items at tonight's City Council meeting include a greenhouse gas and energy efficiency report from City Sustainability intern Angie Van Hooser and a Citizen Commission report from the Human Rights Commission. The City's consent agenda includes a change order for ongoing work on the City's sewer system at several locations. acceptance of a Federal Aviation Administration grant offer to incorporate the Pullman Moscow Regional Airport's layout into the GIS system, a fee waiver request for construction at the city-owned 1912 Center, and underground utility easement with Time Warner at the city-owned Virgil Phillips Farm property 5 miles north of town, and a voice-over internet telephone service agreement between the city and the county. The FAA grant can be for up to $525,000. The consent agenda is normally voted on all at once, although a city council member can unilaterally remove an item from the consent agenda and put it on the regular agenda. Tonight's city council meeting begins at 7 p.m. at City Hall. A Boeing subsidiary in the Columbia Gorge town of Bingham, Washington, has won a $47.3 million contract to build remote-controlled spy craft, or drones. Production of at least 56 integrator surveillance and reconnaissance drones is scheduled to begin at Insitu Incorporated in 2013, when design and testing is completed. The Navy and the Marines already use Insitu's Scan Eagle drones for surveillance and pinpointing of targets to attack. The company had 4 employees in 1994 and today employs about 700 people. Insitu CEO Steve Sliwa said that the company is now searching for a new site for expanded drone production. Columbia River Fellowship for Peace co-coordinator Trish Layton told the Associated Press, "It's unfortunate that the area's economy relies so heavily on a company that creates drones used for war." Montana authorities are closed-lipped about their investigation of the death of a well-known Native American singer and dancer near a road construction site in Montana's Two Medicine Valley on Thursday morning. 30-year-old Ulf Clinton Croft of Browning was said to have collapsed and died of multiple wounds and that there was an altercation. A witness who declined to be identified said that the wounds were self-inflicted. The herbicide amnopiralide, which can be used for weed control on cattle feed, passes unaffected through a cow's digestive system and into the manure, and that has wreaked havoc on organic farms in Whatcom County. Farmer Kirk Hayes says he lost over $40,000 in the past 2 months, as he has lost about 7 acres of potatoes and salad crops. Providing manure for organic farms was supposed to have helped solve disposal problems with manure at dairies. Dow Chemical spokesperson Gary Hamlin, whose subsidiary Dow AgroSciences produced the herbicide, would not confirm that amnopiralide caused the problems in Whatcom County, but did admit that the herbicide has caused problems in other parts of the country. Growing Washington director Clayton Burrows says his nonprofit has lost hundreds of thousands of dollars at the group's Alm Hills Gardens and other organic farms in the area. Burrows says soil tests have convinced him that the chemical herbicide is what ruined the crops. The herbicide is not believed to pose a threat to humans. The supplemental appropriations bill that President Obama signed last Thursday released $44 million for the Army Corps of Engineers to spend on a project to repair the Howard Hanson Dam on the Green River, which is used for flood control. U.S. Senator Patty Murray of Washington lobbied heavily for the money to protect the Green River Valley, which contains the nation's 5th largest industrial park. The park is a sprawl of warehouses and small manufacturers. Also, 170,000 people live in the Green River Valley. Murray said these measures will protect communities, adding that a flood in the Green River could cause up to $3.7 billion in damages. Heavy rains last year weakened a reservoir wall in the dam, and the reservoir can no longer be filled to capacity. The federal money will install drains to control where water flows, add rock to the dam, and stabilize the spillway. Oregon officials are speculating about the reasons behind a significant rise in the number of female inmates in rural jails around the state. Women make up 27% to 29% of the jail populations of Crook, Jefferson, and Malheur counties, compared to 22% statewide. The national average for female jail inmates is 12%. Corrections officials say the increase began about 5 years ago. The rise of methamphetamine use might be the cause, with about a third of the meth convictions in the state being women. Forgeries, embezzlement, and other property crimes are also likely to land women in jail, and Oregon judges often try to funnel drug and property offenders into county jails and community corrections programs rather than sending them to state prison to mingle with more violent offenders. The significance of the trend on the county level is that jail facilities aren't set to handle a larger proportion of women while keeping male and female inmates separate. The owner of a Rexburg area property where the Environmental Protection Agency spent $100,000 cleaning up leaking containers of hazardous materials denies that he did anything wrong. Federal officials await test results that will determine whether further cleanup is required and if Max Spatig will be charged with a crime. Captain Travis Williams of the Madison County Sheriff's Office said his goals are, quote, to get him into court and in front of a judge, unquote, and to stop situations like this from happening again. This is the second time officials have found and cleaned up improperly stored chemicals on properties owned by Max Spatig. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather from the National Weather Service. Widespread haze tonight and through Wednesday at noon. Otherwise, partly cloudy tonight, low 51. Mostly sunny tomorrow, high 85. Mostly clear tomorrow night, low 52. And mostly sunny Wednesday, high 88. Partly cloudy Wednesday night, 53. And then a 20% chance of isolated showers and thunder storms Thursday afternoon and again Thursday night before midnight. Otherwise, partly cloudy, high 88, low 52, and mostly clear conditions Friday through Sunday with highs around 85 Friday and Saturday, around 80 on Sunday, lows around 50. Currently, fair skies, 83 degrees in Moscow. I'm Lee Robartis. Thanks for tuning into the KRFP Evening Report. Remember, every KRFP Evening Report is available online at RadioFreeMoscow.com. Coming up next is Eat the Airwaves, news and opinions from the West Side, followed by Flashpoints, the daily investigative news magazine from Pacifica Radio. And then Rebel Boot Camp music around 7:35 tonight. Have a good evening. This is KRFP Moscow.